tell us Thanks, first Chris. How this all came about. You've been doing this for a long time, right?
Yeah, 7 years. Thanks, first of all, for having me. And it started in 2002. I was traveling in a place called the Tri-Border area, which is the combination of the borders of Argentina, Brazil, and Paraguay. I was working on a film documentary at that point, on life along the borders and some questions that kept popping up mm-hmm. about unusual activity. So I didn't really know much about it at that time, but as we continued to on our trip, which basically took us from one border to the other, from the Bolivian side of Paraguay to the Brazil side, we kept hearing these rumors about Al-Qaeda, and we kept hearing about Hezbollah. Well, as we got into Ciudad del Este, which is the major city on the Paraguayan border with Brazil, there was ample evidence that there was a huge Hezbollah huge Hezbollah population there. I don't want to speak out of school here or say anything offensive to anyone of any race or ethnic persuasion, but one of the things that the government had been watching for quite a while was the influx of Lebanese migrants or immigrants to that area. Mm-hmm. And it turns out that many of them, according to the Paraguayan and Brazilian government and our government, had connections to Hamas and Hezbollah. This is when it began. So over the years, I've been to 13 countries since then. Each place that I've been to during that time frame has represented a link in this study, a place in this research.
I find that really interesting. That's what inspired you to get started. How did you maintain the momentum to keep looking and digging? I mean, 7 years is a long time. There are people who don't spend that much time on a dissertation for a PhD.
Yeah. Well, the thing is this. It's you can't just up and go to Afghanistan or Romania.
Guess not. Really?
Yeah, well, you
Vacation?
Know, maybe you could.
But I get up and go to the beach, and you go to these places. I mean, my goodness.
But you understand what I'm saying. You can't, I mean, getting to some of the places where I read a lot. Did a lot of reading, did a lot of emailing, and a lot of talking. But in order to really find out about these things, you have to go. So, you know, the thing that I kind of relied on was just my own interest in this subject and many of the people that I was meeting when I came to work here on March 11th of 2004, which just so happened to be the day of the Madrid train bombings.
I remember that.
It was a very important day, but it was also more confirmation that you may be onto something here, so you need to keep this research up. So I've continued and gone to Germany, Romania, Scotland, London.
Scotland?
Yeah. And, you know, of course, Iraq.
You just don't think of Hezbollah in Scotland.
Well, no, I'm not saying that they're there. What I'm saying is there's a major part of this story about what is going on in places like East and West Africa, and how Europe is connected to it. A good example, very quickly, The Nexus, which is the name of this series, is about the connection between drug traffickers, terrorists, and weapons dealers. It's a business model. Basically, each one of them contributes something to the enterprise, and each one of them gets something out of it. And what happens is the terrorists need a way. They need a ride. They need travel. And the drug dealers, traffickers, provide that travel to them through Latin America. What they get in return is expertise from the weapons traffickers and protection in trying to move their dope from West Africa up into southern, up into Europe, which is where the Scotland part comes in. And in the meantime, they are all over there in West Africa making deals, trying to figure out how they can help each other and exchange in money.
And when I heard the first piece, and it was called the Nexus, I went, this is basically what everyone's been really afraid of happening, is all the bad guys getting together, and also it really does become almost a network where money's going back and forth. They're almost reinforcing each other. It seems not good.
It's really not good. It's very much not good. It's so not good.
So what are intel officials doing about it? I mean, they've got to be on the same page as J.J. Green, right?
Well, they're way ahead of me.
Okay.
I mean, what I have, there's a guy, in fact, I've got to say, there are some props that are due here. Sarah Carter from the Washington Times, and I began to talk about this in February and began to work on it. And she has had some other issues that she is working on and working with, but we've been able to move forward with this. But she gave me some great information and some great people to talk to. One of the people that we intersected with was a guy by the name of Mike Braun, the former chief of the DEA, DEA operations chief. And this gentleman has told me chapter and verse how these operatives can get into the United States using the gatekeepers on the Mexican border, 30 or 40 of them, the dead of the night. There are also processes by which they, in West Africa, are able to, shall we say, make their connections, wow, make their plans. That's the new hub for the transshipment of drugs. From all the cocaine in the world is made in the Andean region of South America. Mm. And it goes overseas on vessels over to West Africa and from there to other parts of the world. And that's where all the deals are being made. And Mike Braun has been right in the thick of it. Another guy is Tom Diaz, who wrote a book called Lightning Out of Lebanon. He introduced us to the story of a guy by the name of Mahmoud Khorani. Khorani snuck into the United States through Tijuana, coming from Lebanon, of all places. This opened the door on this idea that there is a definite connection. There are definitely people coming in, and the government, while they may know that this door is open, closing it is not easy.
Okay, one last question, because we're running way behind, but this is so fascinating. And I got to ask you, JJ, you know, as a colleague and as a friend, does this not make you a target? You know, the bad guys don't like getting called out. And you're calling them out.
Well, let's make it clear. These guys they're in it to make money. And wasting their time on a second-tier guy like me who has absolutely no way to cause any problems for them, or I mean nothing to them. And they don't even know who I am. And if they did, they wouldn't waste their time on me, because I mean, there have been hundreds of stories that have been done about this. The people they're worried about, like the Zetas, who I understand, I learned this just today, have a plot that the Department of Homeland Security and FBI and federal officials have learned about to assassinate U.S. law enforcement. Those are the people they're worried about. A guy like me does not matter to them.
All right.